Despite the COVID-19 crisis we're living through, primary season is continuing across the country. On Tuesday, voters in Alabama, Maine, and Texas weighed in during the Senate primary and runoff races in their states. And how these elections are playing out might give us a sense of whether Democrats actually have a shot at winning control of the Senate in November. For more, I'm joined now by Ella Nilsson, politics and policy reporter for Vox. Ella, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to start here in Alabama. Former football coach Tommy Tuberville won his runoff race against former Attorney General and Senator Jeff Sessions. Now, President Trump endorsed Tuberville over Sessions, who is the president's former attorney general. Did that endorsement tip the scales for Tuberville?
I think it did. And not only Trump's endorsement, but his vociferous, anti-campaigning against Sessions, who obviously most people remember is his first attorney general and one of his earliest supporters in the 2016 campaign. I think that this race sort of became just a contest over who ultimately was more loyal to the president, and Tuberville came out first in that contest.
So how does this play out against Democrat and incumbent Senator Doug Jones?
I think that either way, whether it was going to be Sessions or Tuberville, Jones is definitely going to have a very uphill battle to keep his seat in the fall. I mean, you have to remember, you know, the fact that he even won the special election for Sessions' old Senate seat, actually, was in the fallout of the Roy Moore allegations of sexual assault and sexual misconduct. But fundamentally, you know, he is a Democrat in a state that is incredibly conservative and really still loves Trump. I mean, Trump's approval rating in that state is still quite high. It's just, you know, fundamentally a very Southern, very conservative state. So whether it was Tuberville or Sessions, you know, Jones was going to have an uphill battle either way. So they're not, you know, they're not trying to do this strategy of hammering Trump's record. They're trying to emphasize his bipartisan support, trying to emphasize his past in the fight for racial justice and his past as a civil rights attorney. So I think that this shows us sort of where the Jones campaign is going to go in the fall, but it's certainly going to be a tough race.
Let's turn to Texas now, where they had a Senate runoff race yesterday, and this one was on the Democratic side. MJ Haggar beat Royce West there. Let's talk a little bit about how Haggar was able to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, this was a race that got more competitive, I think, than Haggar had anticipated potentially in the last few weeks. And this is sort of a pattern that we've seen in other races as well. So Haggar was a woman Air Force veteran who I think a lot of people remembered. She had this kind of breakout ad in 2018 when she was running for House District. She didn't ultimately win that House District, but the name stuck, and National Democrats approached her to run for the Senate seat against Senator John Cornyn, a Republican. She had to go to a runoff. She didn't win the primary outright earlier in the year. And she was up against Royce West, who is a longtime Black state lawmaker in Texas, a little bit more progressive than Haggar was. And in the wake of, you know, the George Floyd killings in Minneapolis and all of the protests that we have seen around racial inequality and systemic racism in the United States, Royce West got a lot of momentum in Texas. But ultimately, Haggar was the one who was backed by the National Democratic Party and had the fundraising advantage. And it was certainly a closer race than I think a lot of people expected, but she ultimately was able to pull it out.
Ella, a big race that a lot of people were watching here was over in Maine, where the Speaker of the House, Sarah Gideon, won her Democratic primary yesterday. How did Gideon position herself compared to her competitors?
Gideon positioned herself a little bit more in, I would say, a moderate vein, just in the fact that she had two progressive challengers who both fully embraced Medicare for All and a Green New Deal. And I would say, you know, Gideon probably shares a lot of the same goals that they do, but, you know, she, instead of embracing Medicare for All, she has embraced a public option like many of the Democratic Party's backed Senate candidates. And as far as the environment, you know, she supports getting America's greenhouse gas emissions to a manageable target by 2030 or 2050, but she does not support a full, you know, Green New Deal. But I think that, you know, political experts that I talked to in Maine said that Gideon had the support of basically everybody except for a small minority of Bernie Sanders supporters, as one political scientist in Maine told me. You know, she is seen, I think, as far as her tenure in state politics, you know, not a super centrist person. I think that she is seen as somebody who has accomplished some progressive goals in the past. But I think that she is sort of positioning herself more as a pragmatic candidate to go up against Susan Collins.
Well, speaking of Collins, I mean, how are Maine voters feeling about Senator Collins at the moment? She has sort of, I think, disappointed some of her voters occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be by far Susan Collins' toughest reelection that she's had in decades. She's been in the Senate seat for a very long time. She's always positioned herself as a moderate senator, sort of in the vein of, you know, former Senator Olympia Snowe, another moderate woman senator from Maine. And I think that more than anything, this is true for a lot of incumbent Republican senators across the country, but maybe none more so than Collins. You know, she is trying to run on her moderate record, her moderate bipartisan record of getting things done. But at the same time, she is just inextricably linked to Donald Trump, the president, the Republican president, who is going to be at the top of her ticket.
And she's linked, Ella, because she has supported the president in some pretty key moments. While sort of attempting to toe that line of being a moderate, there have been moments where Senator Collins has really pretty outwardly supported the president.
Absolutely. You're right. I mean, she most notably on her vote for Brett Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court confirmation, certainly the GOP tax bill. There are a lot of things where, you know, she has sort of publicly waffled and, you know, so said, sort of drawn out a lot of suspense on how she is going to vote, and ultimately has voted and sided with the president. And as far as the Kavanaugh issue, I mean, if she was sort of hoping that would go away in people's minds, you know, he recently sided with anti-abortion groups in a recent decision. So that just is still going in people's minds, certainly. So, you know, Collins is trying to run again on her bipartisan record. But I think it is going to be sort of the specter of Trump hanging over her is going to make it extremely challenging this time.
Of course, we mentioned at the very top that we are still living in a COVID-19 world, and I'm wondering whether the coronavirus affected voter turnout at all. Is it too early to tell?
So at least in Texas, there were local reports that Democratic turnout was actually was hitting records. So and in Texas, there was a lot of in-person voting, as well as a little less mail-in ballots. So far, I think, you know, it's still tough to tell. I think in Maine and in Alabama, folks are still tabulating the absentee ballots that are coming in. So it's hard to get sort of the full picture of turnout. But I think that, you know, the underlying theme is that Democrats are still very energized to get out and vote this year. And this could be a preview for what we're going to see come November.
Ella Nilsen is a politics and policy reporter for Vox. Ella, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.